Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, November 9th of 2022. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live, and it is a blessing to be with you tonight. Wherever you may be tuning in, however you may be tuning in, whether you're calling in on your phone, whether you are listening on your laptop or your desktop or your tablet or whatever device you're using, I'm just glad you've tuned in tonight to this program. And I'm sure God's pleased with you for that also. I'm very sure of that. And also, I want to mention something real quick. So for those of you in America who voted the right way, thank you. In my state, we had our governor, who basically shut our state down longer than anyone else in America, basically. She won re-election. I have already read an article that there was confirmed to be some fraud that involved the city of Detroit and ballots showing up after the deadline of 8 p.m. on election day. Last I checked, if ballots come in late, you should not be counting them. Because they got there late, right? If they come in late, don't count them. There's deadlines for a reason. And, it's as simple as that. And I'm sure it's possible there could have been some other things too. I'm not going to say what they could have been because I don't know yet. There hasn't been any articles that I know of that I could say, oh, here's what else happened. At least one of the proposals seemed rather deceptive. I know when I went in there and voted, I didn't even have them read to me. I knew what was in them. Just voted no on all three. Imagine if some of you would have went in there and just voted no on all three. For some of you, it could have made it a whole lot easier to vote. Proposal three is very dangerous. I hope you give it some thought. If you're a Christian and you voted yes on Proposal 3, you better be in prayer asking God to forgive you, because it's not right, because we know that life for a baby, as far as it being an organism, it can't walk yet or anything like that, but we believe life begins in the womb. I believe life begins in the womb. So that one was not a good idea. Why you should have thought about that before you voted. There were good things that came out, though. Example, Long Island an area near New York City, a certain area, strip of land in New York State near New York City, for the first time in a very long time. Four different Republicans representing that area. They swept it. Four. There was just one. Now there's three others because all three of those Democratic incumbents lost. Florida. Man, something's going on in Florida. DeSantis gets like nearly 60% of the vote. Wow. After barely winning 4 years ago, Stacey Abrams loses in Georgia to Governor Brian Kemp. He gets 54% of the vote. Last time he only won by like 20,000 votes. Super close. And so I think who won partly depend on how much cheating was going on. And now my pastor was talking against Proposal 3, but I wish that there would have been more pastors in Michigan talking against it, educating their church families on how dangerous it is. That's, in my mind, that's part of what we learned. So I think part of it's on us. And also I do think there was cheating. Because imagine if every Christian everywhere went out and voted. Voted right. Imagine. Oh, yeah. Metro would look a bit different than what it does right now. So, but for those of us who have taken a stand, I will say this. Thank you. Thank you very much for working to protect liberty. You know, voting for liberty and freedom and for security at the border. Because that's an important thing. In America, on Friday, it is Veterans Day. Veterans Day. And just yesterday I was at the doctor to get just a little checkup, and I go in there and he's looking over some things with me and he says, "Now, Rivers, you know, I'm not going to be here next year." And I'm like, "Well, yeah. Where are you going?" And he's like, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm getting deployed in the Army." He had told me that he had been deployed previously. And then I said, "You know, thank you for serving." And when you see someone that has served in the armed forces, or serves in the armed forces, should always be thankful for them. Because they put themselves in harm's way for us to defend our way of life, to defend our freedoms. And in this country, we can't take our freedoms for granted. We can't. We received a lesson on that during COVID. Apparently, some people must not remember the lesson. But you know, so you see vets, and I'll thank them for their service and for going into harm's way for us. I will also say, you know, when you see a police officer, thank them for what they do to keep our state, our streets safe and help keep the bad guys off the street. Bad people, bad guys, bad apples, you know, whatever you want to call it. But to keep those off the street and keep us safe. And that's what the police do. And I thank God for the police. And I am not for defunding the police. In fact, they need extra funding, not less, more. They have a very difficult job. They put their lives on the line every time they go to work for us. And the ways certain people treat them, my. I know several different veterans, and I'm sure they all have their own unique stories to tell about, well, if they fought in a war, as far as which war it was, and, you know, what it means to serve. And, of course, when you're serving for your country, the idea is that should be that you love your country. You do it for your country. Now, and hopefully you don't just join the military just so you can legally hurt people. Because someone I know had done that. Now, they're older now, and they had given their life to Christ while they were in the Marines. This person is now known by many and is a pastor to believers as well as a pastor to many pastors. And so so we should not be taking what we have here in America for granted, because we found out during COVID that it could be taken away. And when they say certain things like we can suspend certain parts of the Constitution due to a pandemic, which was actually a mandemic. What, don't you agree, Laura? It was a mandemic. Mandemic, plandemic, pandemic, whatever you want to call it. you know, my pastor calls it a mandemic, pastor from Florida that I like, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, he calls it a plandemic. But the way I see it, it was both. So that's why I like to say on this program, you know, plandemic, mandemic, whatever you want to call it. And I don't mean like the rude whatever. I mean, it's both. It is. It was by man and it was planned. So they both work. And that's why we can't afford to be taking the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy in America for granted. Because it can be taken from us. And I'm going to read some stuff tonight about Pharaoh, the plagues, and about this whole thing of, you know, let my people go. And we'll be talking about that tonight when we get into the Word of God tonight. Because, you know, it's time for us to be free and to, yeah. So, and it was a constitution, you know, it guarantees. I mean, we have a right to worship our God. Yes, we do. And in many states, during COVID, they tried to ban us from it. And based on some of the results of yesterday, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, and other places, Pennsylvania, people, it's like they showed they forgot. Right, Laura? It's like they showed they forgot. And especially when the people running against you admit that they would not lock down their state. But that's part of why, I wonder if that's part of why DeSantis in Florida did so great, because he publicly admitted that he would never shut down a state again. And you know, that's great. So that's why I'm just saying, you know, I stand for liberty. I stand for freedom. I stand for being able to worship and being able to, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so now there's a couple of things that I want to mention. Now, these are just a couple of little house announcements that I always give for you folks. So in case we have new visitors, and I always try to mention these. Number one, the book, Rivers of Miracles, it's the story of my life. It's the story of how great God has been. And there, I tell you, there's a lot of victories in it. Talks about different challenges that I faced in my life. And there's a bonus in there. You get some of my mom's testimony in there, too. So see, it's almost like you get a two-for-one. It's like the old two-for-one special, almost, you could say. And it's all in there. It's not like one book has my stuff, the other has hers. Nope. It's like two-for-one, and it's all in the same book. And you can go online and buy the book. Find out how you can get it into your life and how it can be a blessing into you. And you can go online to the website Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, not R-Y-V-E-R-S, R-I, as an ice cream, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book and how it can be a blessing into your life. Because I want to see you get blessed. I mean, I want you to read the story. I want you to get to know about the story and my story and the testimony of my life. As it is a testimony that should increase your faith when you read about the things that I had to go through. But God's been on my side. And I thank God that he's there for me. And he's fighting for us. He's not. And you know, there's a verse in my Bible. I don't know what Bible you're reading, folks, but my Bible says, if my God is for me, who can stand against me? The Bible that I read, the Bible that I stand for, that's what it tells me. And so I've been standing on the Word of God since I've been old enough to do so. My mom was standing on the Word of God before, when I was super little, you know, and I'd be in that hospital room. And the spirit of death would be upon me. Four different times it was on me. But you know what? Death didn't win either of those four times. 0-4. 0-4. And so, the score was life 4, death 0. And I just thank God for that and for him just being there for me. And as so, whatever you're going through, whatever giants you're facing, just trust in God and knowing that he's got you, even if you're feeling discouraged. So go online to the website to find out about that book. The other thing I want to remind you about is about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. And I want to see you blessed. When you sow your seed into the Miracle Man program, when I get notification that you've sown a seed, I always pray over that seed. I do. I always pray over that seed. Why? Because I want to see you get blessed. So there's a verse that I want to sow into your life. And it's one that says, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. I wish that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So you may look at yourself and go, how am I doing in my soul? How am I doing in my soul? How am I doing at forgiving people? How am I doing in this area, that area? Now, to sow your seed, you go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name, Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please make a note of that, if you would kindly do so. The other thing that I would like, and so when you And the other thing related to that, the first hour in Rivers, capitalized. The S in Shukla, capitalized. And there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. So please, if you would kindly, make a note of that. Okay? Amen. Now, I'm going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord for tonight, and then we'll see what God has for us. And then also I do have football predictions for tonight, and we'll see what happens there with those. All right. Higher than the higher than the mountains that I face, constant in the trial and the change. One thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. And on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains. One thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Oh. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. And on and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never, ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains. One thing remains. never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Thank you. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Oh, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Yes, it will. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Yes, thank you, Lord. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hand. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. I see you move. You moved the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I see you move. You moved the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hand. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Oh, I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King. In what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. Love you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Master, for what you're doing in each one of these listeners tonight, wherever they're tuning in from, however they're tuning in, Lord God, that you're right there with them, going through life with them, helping them along the way. You know what they have need of, Lord, tonight, even when I don't. And I thank you that they're here tonight. They're tuned in to this show on purpose. That purpose is ultimately to learn of your word, to learn of your ways. And yes, Lord, we're going to do sports at the end, but we always say that's beside the fact. But thank you, Master, that these people are here to learn of your ways, and so they can put this to practice in their own lives, and they can you know, serve you, worship you, and do your work. And thank you that you bless all of these listeners who tuned in. Redeem their time. And thank you, Master, that you meet every need represented, that you would heal their bodies, heal their minds, forgive them of whatever sin that they're asking you to forgive them of. Bring strength to their marriages and relationships. that you would heal them of all, everything in their mind, whether it be oppression, depression, disappointment, discouragement, fear. I take authority over that stuff right now in the name of Jesus and over whatever spirits will try to minister to these people. There's one spirit that operates, and it's your spirit. And I thank you, Master, for that. And I pray that they'd be able to focus tonight as we study your word tonight. In the name of Jesus, I make my confession over this program tonight, Lord. I pray that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, increases in listenership come into this program, more and more listeners every time, in the name of Jesus. And ultimately, I thank you for a huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program, in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. And now, I want to make a Bible confession. You say, Miracle Man, why do you do a Bible confession? Well, because the Bible says we can have what? The fruit of our lips. The Bible tells us that we can have the fruit of our lips. So, we're going to say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I can have. I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. And it is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight in the name of Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Exodus chapter 8. Amen. Exodus chapter 8. I'm going to read from the Bible. Why, Milkman? I'm a Bible man, and you are, remember what Dr. Barclay used to say? Bible people, remember? Bible people. Amen. So I've never really said that too much on here yet, but I felt like borrowing it from him today. That's why I said, I'm a Bible man and you are, and like Bible people part comes out. So go with me to Exodus 8, and we're going to begin with verse 1. Acts and Exodus, in a way, the two names kind of sound alike, even though they're in totally different parts of your Bible. So make a note of that, because Exodus is book number 2 in the Old Testament. Acts is book number 5 in the New Testament. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may serve me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs. If it teems with something, it means it's like overcapacity. Like more than it can handle. In other words, you're saying the Nile will teem with frogs. It'll teem with them. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials, on your people, in your ovens, in your eating troughs. The frogs will go up on you and your people and all your officials. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand, your staff, over the streams and canals and ponds, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. The frogs came up, covered the land. The magicians did the same things by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron, and he said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people. I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses told Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and for your officials and for your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. Tomorrow, Pharaoh said. Moses replied, it will be as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you and your house, your officials, and your people. They will remain only in the Nile. After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs that had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyard, and in the field. They were piled into heaps, and the land reeked of them. But when Pharaoh saw there was relief, he hardened his heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff, strike the dust of the ground. Throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats. They did this. When Aaron stretched out his hand, the staff, and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. When the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they couldn't. And the gnats were on men and animals. The magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water, and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies, and even the ground where they are. But on the day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in the land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. The Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of the officials and throughout Egypt. The land was ruined by the flies. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Go, sacrifice to your God here in the land." Moses said, "That wouldn't be right. The sacrifices we offer the Lord, our God, would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord, our God, as he commands us." Pharaoh said, "I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God. In the desert. But you must not go very far. Now pray for me." Moses answered, "As soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord. Tomorrow the flies will leave Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Only be sure that Pharaoh does not act deceitfully again, not letting the people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord." Then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. The Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. This time also Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. So what you see there through these plagues was God said, he told Pharaoh, "Let the people go so they can serve me. Let my people go so they can serve me." Pharaoh would be saying, "Yeah, I'll let them go." At first he wouldn't, but then he became like, "Yeah, I'll let them go, but I won't let them go far." Then he says later on, where we didn't read tonight, he'll say things like, "I'll let you go, but you can't take your children. I'll let you go, but you can't." So Pharaoh was a tyrant. He was very much, he was a control freak, you could say. Tyranny should have almost been his middle name. He was not for freedom at all. He would not let the Israelites go, which is why these plagues came. But in the different plagues we read tonight, the flies on the people of God, The gnats didn't come on the people of God. The frogs didn't come on the people of God. And later with the other plagues, the hail. Pharaoh would go to Moses and he would say, please ask God to remove the flies and the gnats and the frogs and the different things. And he would say, keep saying, I promise, I'll let you go. God would let him go. Yeah, God, by that I mean God would take away the frogs, take away the flies, take away the gnats. But Pharaoh wouldn't release them. Pharaoh kept saying no. Instead of saying yes, he was saying no because his heart was being hardened. And so he just kept refusing to let him go. God was having Aaron stretch out his hand, and those things would happen. They were to be signs for the people. They were to be signs, miraculous signs. So they could see that God was God. And, of course, the motive wasn't to try to make it uncomfortable for people, to try to hurt people, to try to... No. Part of the idea was Pharaoh, let him go. Set him free. Let him go worship. Let him go do the stuff that you commanded them to do. And offer the sacrifices. Because back in that day, you would offer sacrifices to God through the different types of offerings. You know, drink offering, fellowship offering, fat offering, drink offerings, meat offerings, all different types of offerings. And Pharaoh kept saying, nope. After he would say, yes, you'll be able to go. But he kept telling them no. He kept telling them no. Would not let them go. I don't just mean maybe. No, he refused to let them go. Totally flat out. Had just decided, nope, I'm not. And eventually, the firstborn children in Egypt, they all had to die. Still wouldn't let them go. And but today, we can be free. We have the right to worship Jesus. You live in this country, generally you have the right to go to, be able to go to church, worship your God. Thankfully, at least right now, we don't necessarily have to do underground churches yet. It's what they want, though. Those on the left, they want underground churches. One thing they want is they want to make it so that you can't drive on Sunday. Why Sunday? I wonder why. Do you think it could have something to do with church, the house of God? Possibility. Yeah. And other things, that's one of the eight things that, like, the United Nations or whatever, you know, the or something, the green something something, the green people, that's what they want. Part of what they want is, you know, try to ban people from driving on Sundays. And I hope that doesn't take effect. Because then you have a form of, like, Pharaoh. You have tyranny then. And that's, and tyranny is never good. Only bad things happen when you have tyranny instead of liberty. And part of what our veterans who died for our country, those who ended up dying, as well as those who are living still today, you know what they've been fighting for? Us to be free. And part of it is so that we can have that freedom of religion, that freedom to worship our God. Yet some of us take it for granted and decide to just strictly go to church online. Even since COVID, some people have decided, you know, to strictly do church online. Deciding basically, well, why would I want to rub shoulders with anybody? We did it online during COVID. I can sit there and eat my jammies. I can sit there in my jammies, eat my popcorn or my little pizza or whatever, and I can sit there and do it in my pajamas, in my jammies, and have pajama church. Oh, really now? But that's, you know, in the Constitution, it's so that we have the right to worship God, whether, you know, we do it online, you know, and thank God we have streaming capabilities now on an internet, so that if you can't get there for whatever reason, or you're out of town or something like that, like at my church, you can stream the services when you're not at my church. You can stream them. And previous services are on YouTube, so you can watch them that way too. I've done that when I've been out lately, whenever I've been out of town or what have you. And so it's a great thing to be able to have that technology, but it shouldn't replace. Technology should not just be a permanent replacement for gathering together. The Bible tells me, do not forsake yourselves, the gathering of yourselves together, even the more so as you see the day approaching. Even the more so as you see the day approaching. Not the less so, the more so. And people think, you know, if only I didn't have to go to church, if only I didn't have to be an usher, if only I didn't have to la 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 la. Oh. What's so important? Car? Cat? Dog? Tractor? Roses? Kids? House? Couch?
bed? What is it? Oh, I know. The two roosters at your house fought.
I know some of it might sound a little silly when I say stuff like that, but you know, the Bible does say laughter doeth good like a medicine. And so, and some of you who might be listening might have not laughed in a long time. And the truth is God does have a sense of humor. Even though, like example, in Proverbs when he says, it's better to be up on a roof than to be in a house full of strife. In a way, he's telling the truth, but in another way, I feel like, do you feel like that's kind of his humorous side, and that's why he says that? That's kind of him being that humorous part of him when he says it's better to be on a roof. Yep, it's better to be on a roof than to be in a house full of strife. And my mom has told me, when I was a teenager even, she would tell me that when she would read that, she always laughed. She always thought it was funny. Because I think it's funny. What? Yeah, I think because it's in the book of the Bible, so it can be easy for us to think it's serious. And in a way, it's like he's getting his point across, but in another way, it's funny. So sometimes you just have to be able to find things, you know, that, you know, you laugh at, make you chuckle, because otherwise, if you never laugh, everything just becomes so mundane and so, you know, that's why even I sometimes will tease and come up with stuff like I just did there about, you know, the roosters. My point in all that was people will come up with all kinds of excuses for why they'll decide not to go to church. God said, when you see the day approaching, don't forsake the coming together. He said, don't forsake it. Keep coming. It sounds to me like he knew that at some point in the last days that there would be technology like streaming and the like, that people could sit there and have pajama church at home and eat their pizza during the service. Hopefully not pizza with cooked onions and cooked tomatoes on it. Otherwise, some people might be like not happy and might want to chuck it at the computer or whatever, which wouldn't be good. But and by the way, my pastor teaches about those user-friendly churches. Go to them, by the way. If you're in one, you know, get to a real church. By user-friendly, I mean these seeker-sensitive, where they don't teach you the real word of God, and they preach you that you can, it's okay if you keep drinking, just don't get drunk and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's multiple ways. There's so many different ways to heaven and stuff like that. They'll try to teach you. And if you're in one of those churches, get out, please. But my dad has teased me about them before. And he has joked and said, you know, at those churches, they have cheeseburgers on every Sunday morning and free fries and pizza and Coke. He'd probably say it's pizza toppings of your choice. Which means that I could just sit there and eat pizza, eat a burger, eat a big thing of fries, drink a nice big Coke through the whole sermon. But then when you're doing that, you get nothing out of it. Nothing. Because chances are you'd be sitting there eating. And no, nothing wrong with pizza or any of that, but just saying, people will, why not go to a church where they teach you the Word of God. And they teach you that you're free from sin. He came so you could be free from sin, not freedom to go do it. To go sin. Not freedom to commit adultery. Freedom to, drink beer. Freedom to lust. Freedom to, do all this sinning stuff. It came so we could be free from it. Not free to. Freedom from it. You say, why did you kind of harp on that for a minute? Because there's preachers that'll try to tell people that, you're free to just do however you want. And be like, well, God's your pal. God's your pal. He just wants to be your friend. Last I checked, God wasn't my beer and ping pong and pizza buddy. Uh-uh. He wants you to get delivered from sin. Not, freedom to just be your own Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. May we get your word in us tonight. I call the people of God back to church right now in the name of Jesus. Find themselves at the altars of God. Find themselves repenting to God of their sin, getting right with you, getting their lives right with you, turning back to you in your name. Thank you that they will seek your face, turn from their wicked ways. Get this word in their heart, put it to practice, and not be a hearer only. In your matchless name, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, in terms of sports, we got some football to discuss. In Division One, we have Rochester Adams at Clarkston. Figured I'd highlight one game from Division One, Region Two, and then a couple different ones from Division Two. As we are in the regional round now, we had districts here in Michigan. We had districts the last 2 weeks. Now we're on to regionals. So we have Rochester Adams up in Clarkston Friday at 7:40. Rochester Adams, the defending state runner-up. They have a loss this year to Clarkston. That's their one loss. It's to Clarkston. To be honest, I think they will lose to Clarkston. Give me Adams. Lewis and Clark, 27, Adams, 18. Let's go to Division II, Region 1. Division II, Region 1, you have undefeated Forest Hills Central from Grand Rapids taking on a 3-loss East Lansing team. At Forest Hill Central. on Friday at 7. I don't know too much about either one of those, but I do know they are that Forest Hill Central is undefeated. And my honest prediction, Hills by Forest, 31. East Izzo, 17. Now, R2-D2. I know there's something called R2-D4. What is that? Is that from Star Wars, or what is that from? I think it's something like that, isn't it, Laura? What? Or something like that, R2-D4. R2-D2. What does that refer to, listeners? What that is Region 2 of Division 2. But I just said it that way. It makes it sound cool. R2-D2. It does make it sound cool, doesn't it? R2-D2. So, R2-D2. Comics of Midland going to Dexter. Dexter down by Ann Arbor to take on the Dreadnoughts of Dexter, who are undefeated. And they have one of the best high school athletes, one of the best high school football players in the state of Michigan right now. He has committed to Michigan. He is a 4-star recruit. And his name is Cole Cabana. Our defense will be tasked with containing Cole Cabana, as well as their quarterback and their other offensive weapons. Their defense has not scored, has not allowed more than 15 points in a game for a while, for like several weeks. Is going to be successful at beating the Dreadnoughts of Dexter. It will have to be done, based on my prediction, with a low score. Because I do expect Dexter's defense to be right there for whatever Midland tries to bring. Midland's defense will have to do their best at containing their quarterback as well as the running back, Cole Cabana. It's what it's going to take if we're going to do it. I expect it to be a close game, but my honest prediction, Dreadful 18, Comic Books 14. And so that's my prediction. Dexter will beat the Comics. And of course we will see. Based on my prediction, we'll beat the Comics. We'll see on Monday when we come back how they did. Now, college football, you have Michigan at Nebraska. No, you don't. Nebraska at Michigan on Saturday. Not doing so hot. By the way, Michigan is in the top four right now for the national playoff. So if the playoff were today, Michigan would be in it. As would that team from the South, Georgia and TCU. So, Michigan-Nebraska, honest prediction. Winning again, 38. Husking Corn, 13. Lions, taking on the Giants this week in NYC. Giants not doing so bad. But when I think about this one, honestly, I think Roaring Lions of Judah, 27, Gigantics, 21. Some of you wonder, where do I get these nicknames from? Well, there's this guy out of Detroit called Son of Swami, and he predicts scores, like football scores, using these different nicknames like that. And it's been a few years since I've read his stuff, because now, unfortunately, all his stuff like that is behind a paywall on the Detroit News, and I think it's cool when he does that stuff. That Son of Swami, Nick McCabe, that he comes up with these nicknames like that. And he calls Midland chemical spills, but I feel like comic books makes it sound cooler. So that's why I call us the comic books. Dreadnoughts, I figured dreadful makes sense. That makes sense, doesn't it? Dreadful? Which is what it could be for Midland if they don't do their job. So that's sort of how I did that. And you know, and sometimes when you can't think of a name, you just kind of think of what they're known for. Maybe, you know. And I know, like Traverse City West, he has said Traverse City's best. He'll predict all of the playoff games, but I just do ones that I think are important, like that could involve us, as well as like the one by my parents. And also, I do that with, you know, the college picks, like I was just saying, and also the Lions. I do that with. So I come up with, that's why I came up with Gigantics for the Giants. And there's a team from Tennessee called the Tennessee Titans in the NFL. Can you guess what I call them? Whenever we have to play them? Titanic. That makes sense, doesn't it? The Titanic. All right, so when you hear me doing these nicknames, listeners, that's how I get these. They're from my memory of seeing him do that, and like for different ones, some of them I come up with myself. Like when I think of the Tigers, you know what I would use for the Tigers? Eye of the Tiger. Which makes sense, doesn't it? Eye of the Tiger. Yeah, which I think makes it sound kind of cool. All right, folks. So, confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. I say that there shall be no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer. None of this evil stuff will come near us or our families, because we're going to be a powerful witness for you, Jesus, in your matchless name. I sure love you, listeners. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will talk to y'all next time.